stable, secure, affordable, windowized.
Hi, this is Jeremy Curry, Director of Training for GW Micro. What you are about to hear is a live presentation given on Thursday, March 1st at CSUN 2012 on WindowEyes and Windows 8. Until Wednesday, February 29th, we weren't able to talk about Windows 8 due to agreements with Microsoft. We have been working hard behind the scenes to ensure that WindowEyes will work with Windows 8, and what you are about to hear is WindowEyes running with ease on the Windows 8 platform. And now, without further ado, enjoy the recorded live CSUN presentation of WindowEyes and Windows 8.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Jeremy Curry, Director of Training with GW Micro, and with me in the room is Doug Joffrey, Vice President of Product Support and Development for GW Micro.
Mr. G.
Mr. G. And I believe the W is with us as well. Dan, are you in here?
Yep, I'm back.
Oh, the W is here too. Yay.
So we have the dual duo. Today is about WindowEyes and Windows 8. Pretty exciting stuff. Whenever you're on the bleeding edge of technology, you always have some interesting things that happen. And one of the interesting things that happened is apparently this projector doesn't recognize Windows 8. Surprise. The beauty of that is you guys get to experience Windows 8 exactly like I'd experience Windows 8. For you signees out there, guess what? We're in for a treat. So we're going to listen to speech. And then if any of you signees want to come by and actually see it, you can stop by and see us at the booth, and we can set up a time if you want to actually see things visually. But
Jeremy, that projector works just fine for me.
Good. I'm glad. Works about just as well for me, too. So we're in the same boat. So yesterday, Microsoft released Windows 8 consumer preview, that is a beta, right? So things are constantly in flux. Things are still changing. And the same is true for WindowEyes. The really exciting thing is that, as you heard just a second ago, when you heard the speech come through the speakers, that's WindowEyes running on Windows 8. Pretty phenomenal, I think. We've come a long way over the past several years so that technology can now keep up, the assistive technology can now keep up with mainstream technology. Now, this is not the consumer preview of Windows 8. It's actually a private build that they had given us. And this is a private build of WindowEyes, so this is not something that you can go and download. It's not something that's public yet, because again, all of this stuff is in flux. I want to point out at the very beginning, before we even talk anything about Windows 8, that this is kind of a first attempt for Microsoft to be able to bring a touch screen experience and a mobile platform to what's traditionally been a desktop platform. That means that things are going to be a lot different than you're used to. And you'll see some of these differences just right off the get-go. So, as we all know, with first attempts, that means there are many challenges, not only for Microsoft, but for us as well, in order to be able to make things accessible and make sure that something that's oriented towards touchscreen is accessible both with keyboard access. So these are some challenges that present themselves as we work through Windows 8, trying to work very closely with Microsoft. And Microsoft has done a good job working closely with us to try and ensure accessibility. So kudos to them for doing that. Whenever you start up Windows 8, and again, you're going to have to listen to the speech for this since the projector doesn't recognize Windows 8, but whenever you start up Windows 8, the first thing you have is something that actually I don't even think is named yet. It's actually a startup type screen where you have the time, you have the date, you have whether you're charging or not. It's what you would be used to on a mobile device platform. And so in order to get past that, I actually have to press any key to get to my login screen. So I'm just going to press my escape key.
Password edit box.
Here's my password edit box. On this screen, and I teach things in a very visually oriented manner because I envision computer training for blind and visually impaired, much like orientation and mobility training. So I'll describe things very visually so that you understand where they are on the screen. So in the big center of the screen, I've got this password edit box. If I start tabbing around,
ease of access button.
I have this ease of access button, and I can get to all this stuff. I just press space on it. Now, you remember that things are changing. We have some edges to polish up, so you didn't hear that it actually opened up, but it did appear. Now, Again, this is Microsoft's first attempt at adding touchscreen technology to a traditionally keyboard access and mouse access
Narrator
system.
Reads aloud text on.
So in order to access these things, you intuitively
magnifier and then lock
that you would press your up or down arrow key instead you actually tap.
Touchscreen, icon, sticky keys, the filter keys.
But as you hear, WindowEyes is reading all that stuff. And if I want to get back to my login screen, I actually have to Alt-Tab away from it.
Windows sign in.
So I'm back
ease
to my
ease of access
sign-in.
Button, shutdown button.
If I tap again, the ease of access was at the bottom right. The shutdown or power options are down at the bottom right of the screen where the ease of access is at the bottom left, excuse me. And I could get to the power options and shut things down from here very easily. I'll tap back to my
password edit box.
Password edit box. I'll type in my password.
Star. Star.
Be amazed how many people's passwords are star.
Welcome.
That's logging into the
Windows I start menu.
It was pretty quick, wasn't it?
Set desktop.
Okay, so actually, when
start
you
menu.
First
come
up to Windows 8,
menu.
Something at that is fundamentally different than we've seen since Windows 95, so for well over a decade, is that the start menu now encompasses the entire screen. You don't have a start menu anymore. There's differing opinions on what we're calling this thing. I've read different things from Microsoft. I think internally now they're calling it the start menu. I've heard it called the start screen. I'm going to coin this thing the start screen because it more aptly describes what this thing is, because it takes up the entire screen. The start menu never took up the entire screen, so I think calling it the start menu actually does this a disservice. So I'm going to call this thing the start screen. On this start screen, we have these things called tiles. We're all familiar with icons. Well, these tiles are different than icons. They're divided up into groups. Icons never were by default. They're divided up into groups on the screen, which you can create. They're either large or they're small. Large meaning they encompass two columns. Small meaning that they encompass one column. And these tiles will show various apps. So, for example, we installed Microsoft Office 2010 on this system, and a group of tiles for Office 2010 is actually installed and displaying visually on the screen. How would you navigate these things as a blind user? Well, this is where things get a bit tricky. Remember that this is oriented towards touchscreen technology. There is some keyboard access, but there are still some bugs to work out. So I'm on one of these tiles. I'm actually on the group that's at the top left of the screen. I have a group in the top left and a group in the right, and if I start down arrowing,
desktop.
You hear desktop, that's not actually the desktop, that's a desktop tile. Think of an icon for a desktop tile. Now, if I start to down arrow again, you hear nothing. And that's because it doesn't actually wrap up to the next column. Similar to when you were on the desktop and you would down arrow and you couldn't get back up to the next column. Same accessibility issue still exists in this particular user interface. We're going to make things easier, I think, as we work through development to try and make navigation more simplistic and intuitive to the user with doing some things through WindowEyes and perhaps working with Microsoft a little closer on improving some of these items. Now, what's interesting is this particular tile, called the desktop, again, it's like an icon, but it's called a tile, actually takes up two columns. So if I arrow back up,
WindowEyes logo.
You hear WindowEyes and it says logo. Right now everything says logo. We're working to try and change that. That's something that Microsoft has pushed through there. If I right arrow,
Explore logo.
It says I explore logo. And if I down arrow,
desktop.
You would have expected to hear something different because we're in this grid. But desktop encompasses two columns. Well, that presents some other challenges because what if you want to move around these various tiles? Well, if I start pressing the right arrow,
Microsoft Office Picture Manager logo list new.
I've jumped to another group. I had to kind of guess that that was there. But then I can up arrow to other tiles. I can down arrow to other tiles. And having these tiles being large or small can make things a little bit cumbersome for a blind user to be able to access all of these things. It is possible, though, and there are some techniques that can be used to be able to present these things better to a blind user in a different way of using Windows, I guess we'll say. Before we go much further into this new user interface, there are a couple things I want to note. The things have been changing a little bit within inside of Windows 8. So In Windows 7 and Windows Vista, we use what was called a mirror driver to allow the various assistive technology software programs to be able to run together and talk together and make things easier so that nobody caused any crashes or got in anybody's way. That technology has fundamentally changed. It's no longer using a mirror driver. One of the cool things about that is we would have people who were sighted, or sometimes they were losing their sight and they were trying WindowWise or any type of assistive technology, and when you would launch it, the glass or the arrow theme that made things very clear would actually disappear. That's no longer the case inside of Windows 8 because that mirror driver is no longer there. So you won't have the actual, what appears to be the glass or arrow going away. It's all there. All this is based on UI automation, or at least much more UI automation. So it's, in theory, should be more accessible out of the box. One of the big questions we have been getting is, well, we hear that there's no more start menu. What about the desktop? Where did that thing go? And it's still there. So by default, as soon as I boot up my computer, I'm in that special screen prior to the logon screen. I log in. I'm immediately at this start screen. That's what I'm going to call it. And if I want to get to the desktop, you actually press your Windows key. So if I press my Windows key.
Desktop. Recycle bin on selected list in 1 of 3.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it? We're a lot more comfortable with this particular interface as blind users. So we have this desktop interface, which is very similar to what you've been using. However, it does lack the start menu. Start menu is gone. It is no more. So I can up and down arrow through these icons.
Virtual clone drive to Windows 3 of 3.
And if I wanted to use first letter navigation here, I can. So if I press R.
R. Recycle bin 1 of 3.
Okay, this sounds all very familiar. If I want to tab around this portion, it used to be I would tab and I'd hear start menu. Now if I tab.
Internet Explorer button. Running applications.
This is actually the taskbar. If I tab again.
Notification chevron button.
There's our notification area. And if I tab again.
Show desktop button.
So we're back to the actual icons on the desktop. So anytime you want to get to the desktop, you can still do Windows D, Windows M works, but Windows key also works as well, kind of like when you would minimize the start menu. Windows key actually now works as a toggle. So if I want to go back to the start screen, if I press my Windows key again.
Start menu, WindowWise logo list view.
I'm back at this start menu. So Windows key goes task to the desktop.
Bar.
Well, I will focus on the taskbar. If I press
start
Windows
menu,
key again.
WindowWise logo list view.
It goes back into the start screen. This start screen, again, is geared towards touchscreen interfaces, so it works a whole lot differently than anything that we've been used to previously. So, for example, on the desktop, you remember that I did what we call first letter navigation. I moved somewhere, I could press the first letter, and just instantly moved there. That's no longer the case inside of the start screen. And when I tell it to people, they have this kind of collective, oh, really? How's this going? It's actually not that bad once you get used to it. There is a little bit of a learning curve to it. So if I want to start searching for something, it used to be in Windows 7, you'd press your Windows key, brought up the start search in a box, you'd start typing, and off you went. Now, once you're on the start screen, instead of using first letter navigation to move around these things, I can just start typing in information. So if I want to start searching for something that starts with Windows.
WIMDOWS.
And now what's happened is the start screen has repopulated. And I'm going to term this, or call this screen, the search screen, for lack of a better term. I don't think it's been named yet, so hopefully maybe Microsoft will pick up and coin that term. We're going to call this thing the search screen. And this search screen searches for apps, files, or settings. Different than it did inside of Windows 7. Windows 7, you just typed something in, and it would search for everything and divide them into groups. Now, by default, I'm searching for apps, or I'm searching for files, or I'm searching for settings. How do I know which one I'm searching for? Well, you have to actually tab to a list.
Search apps, list apps 11.
Says search apps, and it says apps, and there are 11 apps available. Well, what if I want to get to files or settings? I down arrow.
Search apps, list settings 65, list view.
Settings.
Search apps list files 0.
There's files. I'm going to go back up to
settings. Search apps list settings 65.
Now, I mentioned that currently apps are listed. So how do I get to those list of apps before I try searching for this other stuff? I actually tab again.
Logo Windows Explorer list view. Start menu.
Now I've got this list view. You hear Windows Explorer. What if I want to try to list some of those other items? I'll shift tab.
Search apps list apps 11 list view. Search pane.
I'll down arrow.
Search apps list settings 65.
If I want to search for settings, I press my enter key.
Search box Windows edit.
Now I've got a tab twice back to that list. Once to get
search
to
search apps list settings 65.
If I want to search for settings, files, or apps, then one more time.
A thumbnail Windows update list view. Settings search.
Into this list of files or settings, whichever one I've chosen. So that works a little bit differently. So while we don't have first letter navigation, it does present some easier opportunities to be able to search for items. I'm going to press escape to get out of here. So I'm going to press
taskbar
escape twice in my
start menu
here.
Windows logo list view.
So whenever we're on this start screen, we can start typing anything in, it's going to automatically start searching. Doesn't matter what you press, if it's a character, it's going to start searching. Now I mentioned that this start screen consists of tiles. Well, what can you do with these tiles? I'm going to down arrow to
desktop.
So let's go to
Windows logo, Explore logo.
So we're on iExplore. If I want to open this, I could just press my enter key. So if I press enter.
Windows Internet Explorer. 42 links to unclicks, 11 edits.
Pretty fast, right? That's actually Internet Explorer 10. Internet Explorer 10 is going to be what's the version of IE that's going to be shipping with Internet Explorer. Let's determine some terminology here very quickly when we're talking about Windows 8. There are programs and there are apps, not to be confused. They are two separate items. Apps are part of this new Metro UI. There's an app store that you can download stuff from. What I've just opened is Internet Explorer, the program. There's also Internet Explorer, the app. There are some other apps I was exploring just last night because the store just became available yesterday, literally, to be able to try some of the new apps that are out there and available. Apps can't be shut down unless you're a more sophisticated user and go into the task manager. Well, programs can still be shut down using Alt+F4. And I'll show you the difference after a little bit when we get into talking about one of the built-in apps inside of Windows 8. So I'm going to close Internet Explorer with Alt+F4.
Desktop.
And we'll go back to my
start menu
with
Windows logo list view.
So you can open up this. What else can I do with this tile?
Explorer logo.
So Internet Explorer tile. That's the Internet Explorer logo. If I press my context menu key or Shift F10 or even my space bar now, it actually brings up what's called a context menu. I'll press space.
Space. Unpin from start.
And it says unpin from start. Well, here's where the intuitive nature of touchscreen kind of contradicts keyboard access. A context menu we would traditionally think of as a vertical menu, which you can up and down arrow. Is that right? So yes?
Yes.
Right? That's no longer the case in the tile interface. So if we have a context menu, what we actually have is a horizontal bar that goes across the screen at the bottom. Here's where that learning curve comes into play, because we can't actually up and down arrow, as we've always known from the beginning of time with the context menu. We have to actually left and right arrow. So if I start right arrowing here,
hit the taskbar.
In the taskbar.
Open new window.
Open new window.
Run as administrator.
Run as administrator.
Open file location.
Open file location.
Unpin from start.
And then we
hit the taskbar.
Back around and start wrapping around again. Again, really oriented toward touchscreen interfaces, and there is a definite learning curve to this. Some other interesting things you'll note, you didn't hear anywhere pin to desktop, right? You did hear pin to taskbar. So far, the only way that we've learned to be able to pin something to the desktop is actually to pin it to the taskbar and then go pin it to the desktop from the taskbar. So there are some things that have changed, and maybe that's because the desktop will be eventually phased out. I don't know that for sure, but maybe that's the thinking behind that. But some of these things are a little bit, they do require a bit more keystrokes than they had in the past. I can get out of this context menu simply by pressing escape.
Explore logo list view.
Now, here's another learning curve. You would think that I press escape that context menu is closed. Guess what? It's not. So when we originally looked at this, we thought, well, this thing is a bug. This context menu is not closing. Actually, what's happening is these tiles represent a multi-selection list box. So now I can start arrowing around the tiles and actually select multiple tiles while that context menu is open. Something totally different than we've been used to in the past. So if I want to get out of this thing again,
menu
I have to press Escape twice. Now that context menu has actually closed. I've mentioned that I have these groups inside of this start screen. How do I get to these different groups? Well, again, Microsoft has done a very good job of trying to implement keyboard accessibility. So if I want to jump to the next group, I can press Control period.
Period. Microsoft Excel 2010 logo list view.
That just jumped me to the next group. If any of you are familiar with the ribbon, Control right arrow, Control left arrow moves you from group to group. Now you've got groups on your start menu or start screen. A little bit more consistency, it's just a different keystroke. So Control period moves you to the next group. Control comma moves you to the previous group. So if I do Control comma.
Comma window eyes logo list view.
So you can jump around from group to group. Again, I'm not sure how intuitive this is for a blind user. They're probably going to be using the start or the search screen much more than they will be using this.
Why do you say that?
Because it's a little bit more cumbersome to be able to navigate around because you're more or less feeling around the screen to try and find things. So if you know what you're looking for, just type it in. Very similar to Windows 7. When I've been doing training classes for WindowWise, I've noted that most of the people that are using Windows 7 are no longer navigating that start menu all the time. They're just pressing the Windows key, typing in what they want, finding it, pressing enter. I think that's likely the way that most blind users are going to start using this as well. I could be wrong, time will tell, as this is all very brand new. Okay, so what about if you had a bazillion apps on your computer? Obviously, the screen is only so large. If you have so many apps that they don't even fit, for a blind user, it probably doesn't matter, but there is an advantage to something that's been added specifically for sighties. So if I want to show a zoomed out view of all of my apps, I can actually do that with Control minus.
Dash. Window eyes unselected, one of two group.
Now visually what's just happened is my tiles that were taking up the entire screen have shrunk, and now they're really, really small on the screen. Microsoft has termed this semantic zoom. So if you hear the term semantic zoom, it doesn't have anything to do with screen magnification. It's actually part of the operating system. Now the semantic zoom has a nice advantage to it because while we can move through the groups with control period or control comma, inside of the actual start screen, now you can move through the groups just using your arrow keys. So if I press my right arrow,
Office 2010, I'm selected 202 group.
You heard the name of the group that time. You didn't hear previously when I was in the start screen that something will actually be adding. And so this has a nice advantage to be able to jump
window
from
eyes,
group
I'm selected 102 group
very easily. So Control minus will take you zoom out on semantic zoom. Control plus will zoom in with semantic zoom. Inside of here, if I were to
Office 2010, I'm selected 202.
Go to Office 2010 and press my space bar.
Space, name group.
You'll notice it says name group. I've got that same horizontal context menu all across the bottom. Here's where I can actually go in and create my own groups and name my own groups. So we've installed Office 2010 on here, and we've been able to name this particular group. All right, let's press Escape to get out of here.
Menu closed.
And I'll do a Control plus to
equals
back in.
Microsoft Excel 2010 logo.
One of the most common questions I've been asked just over the past 24 hours is, okay, I'm new to Windows 8. I knew that inside of the start menu and every other version of Windows, I went to the programs menu. That's where I found my programs. How on earth do I navigate to find apps? And, you know, you don't want to just say, oh, well, how's that happen? So what you have to do, actually, there's a new keystroke that that Microsoft has implemented. I don't know if this keystroke will stay the same. Hopefully it will. It's, again, we talk about things that are intuitive. I'm not sure this is the most intuitive keystroke because you want to list apps. So, of course, the first thing you would think of is a letter Z for apps, right? Just kidding. So, Windows key Z.
All apps.
Brings up, again, this context menu, and it has all apps across the bottom. Why you chose Windows key Z, I don't know, but if I press enter on all apps,
menu closed, logo, app, weather for Windows 8 list view.
Now I've got a list of all of the apps that are currently installed on my PC. The beauty of this list is
logo
I can actually arrow
logo
through this.
Logo internet, logo remote desktop.
And although it's in various columns, as I down arrow, it will actually follow along with me. And so this makes it very easy to find all of your various apps. Again, there is a learning curve, though, because this is much different than what we've been used to in the past.
Having some familiarity with Android operating systems, it sounds like to me that the applications on the computer are analogous to widgets, if you will, and programs are the big brothers. In other words, again, you might have an AccuWeather widget on your Android that stays on all the time, that would give you weather updates and things like that, but then you have a word processor that you can exit and use when you need it. Would that be accurate?
You know, I'm not too familiar with Android, but I think you're close to that. I think it's close to that. Again, I think they've looked at the other technologies that are out there and tried to incorporate the best of what's out there and then create their own. So, yeah, I think you're close. Let's talk about another new feature of Windows. I'll press Escape to get out of here.
Desktop. Recycle bin list view on the start menu.
Back to my start menu. Windows key. So we have this new cute little thing, and it's even got a cute little name, called the Charm Bar. The Charm Bar can be opened with Windows key and the letter C. Nice and intuitive.
Charm Bar. Search button.
I'm trying. So this Charm Bar opens up a vertical menu that's along the right-hand side of the screen. It also opens up the clock, in case you want to find out what time it is again, I guess. But in this vertical menu along the right-hand side of the screen, I can start up and down arrowing here, so...
Search button.
The first one I hear is search button. Guess where that takes me? If I press enter there...
Search pane.
That takes
search
me
box edit.
Back to that search screen, that same place I was at when I started typing in on the start screen. Let's go back to the Charm Bar, Windows C.
Charm Bar.
Let's arrow
search
down.
Share button.
Share button. Well, if you're inside of a Metro app can be shared. Again, they've only had the App Store open since yesterday. Even in development, we did not have access to it. I tried sharing some apps, and it's apparently they're not nice because it says these apps can't be shared, so they don't want to play well with others. But you can share apps with others, apparently.
Start button.
The start button, this is inside the Charm Bar. This will actually take you to the start screen.
Devices button.
Devices button. You can go through and look at your various devices.
Settings button.
Settings. We're going to come back to settings in a second. Why might this thing be useful to me as a blind user? Well, if I sleep out of here and I'm on my desktop.
Virtual clone drop recycle bin 103.
Here's my desktop. Suppose that I want to instantly go to the, let's just say the settings that we were in. That actually has a hotkey to it that takes you inside of the settings from here. So if I do a Windows key I.
Desktop. More PC settings button.
That actually opened up settings instantly. Or any of the other items in there also have hotkeys as well. Or let's suppose that you want to search.
Recycle bin list.
This is probably my favorite one for being on the desktop. I want to go search. I can do my Windows key F still.
Search
file find.
Search box edit.
And I can also press... I can also go back to that any of those with any of the other hotkeys. There's a hotkey specific to each one of those. So
desktop,
it makes it a little bit easier to get to those
from
the desktop or wherever else you're at. All right, let's go back to settings. So I'm going to do Windows key C.
Charm bar.
That
start
charm
button.
Bar is actually now on top of the desktop. So I get to that charm bar instantly. And it's not even on the start screen. So again, another advantage of this, I can get to all these items from the desktop very simply.
Devices button. Settings button.
Let's go to settings. I'll press enter here.
Desktop. More PC settings button.
All right. More PC settings. Now, what's here visually on the screen is I have the traditional desktop minus the start menu at the bottom left-hand side of the screen. About a quarter of my screen is taken up with this vertical bar on the right-hand side with PC settings. You might think you arrow. You might think you tab. There's actually a little bit of both through here. So if I press tab,
control panel selected 1-4 button.
Control panel here, now I would arrow. Now if I tab again,
network 2 button.
This is actually a group, If I tab again,
volume 66 button.
I'm tabbing through parts of this group.
Slider.
It's a little confusing at this point. Again, hopefully there will be some changes made to this to make things a bit more intuitive.
Power options, more PC settings button.
Let's go into more PC settings.
Space, desktop, recycle bin list view 1 of 3. PC settings, PC settings, PC settings, personalized button.
I think this is PC settings. Okay. So inside of here, I have a list of items on the left-hand side, and if I select one of those items in the list, I have stuff on the right-hand side that appears for one of these items. I'm going to arrow down through here.
Users button.
You heard users button. This is actually in a list.
Notifications button.
Traditionally, I would think if I'm moving through a menu system, the stuff that's in that menu would appear on the right. That would make sense. In this case, that's not true. So I have to actually down arrow to what I want and then press enter or space on it.
Search button, share button, general button, privacy button, devices button.
Let's go wireless.
Wireless button.
There we go. So I'll press space.
Space.
Now the right-hand part of the screen has repopulated with the items that are specific to wireless. Again, a little counterintuitive, but all this stuff is in flux. So I'm going to actually move through here by pressing my tab key.
Airplane mode on check slider.
Airplane mode, we've heard that before. So airplane mode, obviously very oriented towards a mobile device on a desktop platform. Also, you'll notice that...
Airplane mode on check slider. Airplane mode on check slider.
It's a slider button. This is a new control. For those of you who are familiar with iOS devices and you would have to double tap on an actual slider, this is kind of similar. You just press your space bar, and you could toggle this thing on or off. What's interesting about this item that I am in now, it's actually an app. I can't shut this thing down. If I press Alt F4, watch what happens. Nothing.
Airplane mode check slider.
So this is one of the examples of where this is an app, not a program. Two different items. If I want to...
Background.
I could go in and actually shut this down via the task manager. However, I can Alt-Tab through this.
Ask switching. PC settings. PC settings. Desktop.
I can also do, for those of you familiar with Windows key, or Windows Flip and Windows 7 and Windows Vista, Windows key tab will actually take me through these various items. So if I do Windows key tab.
PC settings. Personalized button. Desktop recycle bin list view 1 of 3.
I can Alt-Tab back and forth between the apps, the programs, and even the desktops. And I only have three different things that we can Alt-Tab back and forth between. What's the thing I can't Alt-Tab to? Well, the thing that you're going to use the most, which is the start screen. So if you want to go back into the start screen, you have to press your
Windows logo list view.
Your Windows key. These apps, again, could be pinned as tiles if you wanted them to be. The apps from the App Store, if they're made correctly, and I know there's lots of work on everyone's end in order to make these things functional, but if they're made correctly, they're supposed to be easier to make than actual full programs or full-size applications. In theory, if somebody makes an app, it should be accessible out of the box. We've all heard that before, so I'm going to say in theory. So if I wanted to open up one of these apps, it's possible. Right now, they're probably not going to speak very well because, again, they were just introduced yesterday. We didn't have access to this content prior to yesterday. There are some other changes inside of Windows 8. Fortunately, a lot of the keystrokes that we're familiar with still work, like Windows key R will open up your run dialog. One of my favorites is Windows key E to go to Windows Explorer.
Items view list box. Name local disk C space used available space 1 of 3 list view.
You're going to see my sarcasm again here, but everyone loves the ribbon, right? Okay. Some of us love the ribbon, some of us dislike the ribbon, and everybody's got their opinion on the ribbon. However, one of the things I've been teaching, I'll even go to as far as say preaching over the past few years, is that you need to be able to understand the ribbon because I've been telling people it's going to be used in more and more Microsoft applications. Guess what? It's in Windows Explorer now. So, if you don't know how to use the ribbon, I've put up a free How Do I Do That video at gwmicro.com/training/tutorials. It's about 17 minutes long. It'll take you through how to use the ribbon. At least I should say it'll take you through how to use the ribbon in its current form. It's slightly different inside of Windows Explorer. What's happening is if you'll think back to Office 2010 or even 2007, I remember that people would start asking me, they'd say, I use these tab controls, but I can't get anywhere else. I can't get to these items or groups. And I would say to them, have you tried pressing Control F1? Because Control F1 will either show or hide the ribbon. By default now, inside of Windows Explorer, they actually hide the ribbon. Maybe we'll do some things to make it visible so we don't have to worry about it, but dependent upon if the ribbon is visible or if it's not visible, changes the way you access it with the keyboard. So if I press my Alt key,
Quick Access Global Group Properties Alt, what button?
That's not what you would expect to hear. I went directly to the Quick Access Toolbar, then I have to try and move around here by tapping.
New folder Alt, 2 button, customize Quick Access Global Application Menu Alt, F grid drop down button.
Okay, now that's actually the file menu called a grid drop down button. If I tab again,
Computer Alt, C1 of 2 pull down tab control.
That's the tab to the right, so these are the tab controls that you normally would left and right arrow between. And they're called even a little bit different here. If I press Enter,
Location Group Alt, C, PR button.
Now I just open that thing. Well, we had been teaching people that if you had a tab control, you would press Tab. If you are using the ribbon in its hidden state, that is not the case. You have to press Enter on it. So you really have to know now, is it hidden or is it not hidden? And I'll show you how you can tell the difference. I pressed Alt and I got to that Quick Access Toolbar. I'm going to press Escape to
get out of here. Computer Alt. Then local disk C space used available space 1 of 3 list view.
Okay, I'm in my list view. I'm going to do a Control F1 to make that ribbon visible. Didn't say anything yet. Let's see what happens if I press Alt now. That's what it does now. Actually, it's supposed to go and say that we're on the file menu. So it'll actually give you a different piece of feedback rather than being on the Quick Access Toolbar. So if that ribbon is actually hidden, you'll hear Quick Access Toolbar. If it's not hidden and you press your Alt key, you'll go to one of the tab controls that are actually inside of the ribbon. So this is something that's definitely different and something I think that people will have to start to understand. Again, we haven't minimized the ribbon by trying to make an interface that presents it as a menu because we knew that Microsoft was really heading towards using the ribbon more and more and more. The reason they are is because as technology gets smarter, they use the ribbon to present information to the user in a much, I don't know if I'm better, but a different fashion to try and make it easier for the user. Whether they've made it easier or more difficult, I think, is arguable. But that's the idea. And so if we were trying to minimalize the ribbon by creating some type of menu system or some type of virtualization, I think that does our clients and our customers a disservice as we see the menu incorporated in Windows 7 under WordPad and now under Windows 8 and everything you do with file management inside of Windows Explorer. So we haven't taken the approach of virtualizing that thing. Instead, we would rather teach people how to fish rather than just give them a fish. I think that makes our clients much more productive than it would be if we tried to take a different methodology to this. So that's Windows Explorer, some of the things that are different. Some of the other items that we have are if we wanted to run this with Windows
I Start Menu.
If we wanted to run this with Windows Magnifier, we can actually do that now. And since I don't have a projector, it's very difficult to show you visually, but with Windows Magnifier, it used to be when we had a mirror driver that the magnifier would only show on half the screen and you would get some really funky mirror effects with the mouse. Since we don't have to use the mirror driver technology anymore, the magnifier certainly is not as good as something like Zoom Text. I'm not going to say that it even goes that far. It's just very, very basic. That would be like trying to call Narrator a full-function screen reader, which it's not. It's never been intended to be. So, but if you just needed a very basic magnification for a very short time, you could actually run WindowEyes and the magnifier together, and what would happen is you'd actually get full screen magnification with speech support. Other questions I know are probably going to arise are, can you access items on the desktop with the mouse pointer?
Recycle bin unselected 1 of 3. Virtual recycle bin 103. Num lock on. Num lock on.
Router mouse pointer there.
Pointer routed to list new. R E C Y C L E.
I'm using the mouse pointer to read that, so I still have access to some of these items that are on the desktop. There is some work to do to be able to make that function better in the start screen. We're working on that, but everything that you've been used to in your traditional views should work just fine. Another example would be if you're in the Task Manager.
Task Manager. List of items, list box.
You can actually use the Windowize.
Further enhance list of items because visit crash will be still must be connected.
You can actually use the Windowize mouse pointer to navigate the taskbar then as well. So that functionality still exists. There are some other keystrokes that I haven't presented to you because they're a little bit more advanced and there are some things that are still in development. Microsoft themselves is not saying when this will be shipping yet. We're not giving a release date on Windowize when it will be shipping with it yet. Our goal is that when Windows 8 ships, to have something that is usable, whether that means that it's Windows 8 or an update to Windowize 7. I don't know that I can answer that, but our goal is to try and have this available for Windows 8 when it comes out. At least that's our prediction. So, again, all these things are still in flux. There are some things that I don't think are quite as intuitive as they were in Windows 7, but I've been reading the list, and people have been asking over the last year or two, you know, they kept saying, well, the mirror driver is going away. Are we going to be left in the dust? Or is this going to be touchscreen oriented? Are we going to be able to use this? The answer is Microsoft's not left us in the dust. They've done a very good job of partnering with us to try and collaborate and make this stuff work. Is there still work to do? Absolutely. Are there things that aren't intuitive that could be a lot more intuitive? Definitely. But they've done a good job of trying to make this work so you don't have to worry about when this comes out that you're going to be stuck with Windows 7 forever. And I'm just going to answer this other question in advance because I know somebody's thinking it right now. Somebody's thinking, is GW Micro going to support touchscreen interfaces? The answer is, at some point, yes. Is that going to happen this year? I don't know. Is it going to happen next year? I don't know. But we think that the world is moving towards that that technology. Obviously, Windows is moving towards that technology. And so it's something that we're going to have to look at and definitely support down the road somewhere. When it will happen, I can't answer that because Windows 8 just literally became public in beta form yesterday. We're a ways out before we can answer stuff like that. So with that, I'm going to open up the floor to any questions that you may have.
One thing I wanted to point out before the questions start is, as Jeremy was using Windowize to read this, our goal at first was just to get Windowize to read the focus information as it's moving around. We can be more intuitive to read things better, like the start, the search screen that he was on. It was just staying focused with staying in the edit box. Well, you really have multiple focuses. You've got the edit box you're typing in, you've got the results, you've got the app files and settings grouped down there. So there's really three things that are of interest. So we're going to be modifying Windowize to give you quick access to the multiple points of the focus, basically, that you're in there. So a lot of the things that you're hearing now will certainly be cleaned up and maybe give you that information quicker with either automatically or on demand, those types of things.
I think one of the things that also can be said is that we're obviously afraid of change. And with this version of Windows, we're starting to see some new technologies appear. You know, we're obviously seeing the addition of touch screens, things of that nature, the subtraction of the start menu in its current form that we have. So I'm probably sure that that's making some of us a little leery of change, but it looks like Windowize is taking care of it.
And that's a good point. On the start screen itself with all the icons, although I don't think Microsoft gives you a good way to navigate through that from the keyboard, to be able to get every icon, to be guaranteed you get that, you know, maybe Windowize could give you a next thing. We did that in Microsoft Word. Word doesn't have a way to guarantee to take you to every line in the document, complex documents anyway. So maybe we give you a way to navigate logically through the start menu or pop up another dialog that gives you all the icons, something like that. So we'll certainly try to clean up those edges as we play with this more and get more feedback. Now that it's in public beta, maybe we can start getting more people to play with this and give us feedback. Prior to that, it's just GW Micro. We couldn't talk outside of the company with this, so that's going to help us get more feedback.
One of the things that may happen, I don't know, when I remember changing from Windows XP to Windows 7, there were companies that produced Windows XP like start menus that were out. Mm-hmm.
that we could install as a third-party application. I'm assuming there's an app for that. Or there will be an app for that. So, hint, hint to the folks at WindowEyes.
I think there was a question in the back.
Now, I had a question. So, on the desktop, it's, you know, it's the tiles and groups rather than just regular desktop that you just up and down and right up there or through. When you did that control minus, does that, can you up and down and left and right? Is it?
Let's give it a shot.
Start menu. WindowEyes.
And remember, this is. Terminology is different. This is not the desktop. This is the start screen. I want to make that really clear. I wasn't trying to point that out, but I just want to make it clear because I have this recording out. I want to make sure we're all on the same page. So I'm on the start screen. I'm going to do a control minus.
Window icon selected one of two groups.
I know if I right arrow, it's going to go to the next group.
Office 2010 unselected.
So that's left arrow.
Window icon selected one of two groups.
I'm going to try and down arrow and nothing. So you can only right and left arrow between groups. That looks like the only access you've got here. Let me try tab, actually.
Account pitch, window icon selected one of two groups.
Nope. The only thing I can do is tab between where I've got my account picture and login settings, which is also part of the start screen. Just tab to toggle back and forth between that and the tile interface, but it doesn't appear that that functions currently. Good question.
When you have multiple apps open, let's say, you know, let's see, you have the AccuWeather and other apps running. How do you switch between those?
You can do Alt-Tab, just like you've traditionally done in the past, or you can also do Windows Key Tab. It gives you a little bit different visual interface if you do Windows Key Tab.
Oh, okay.
But your Alt-Tab will still function just like it always has.
Okay, here's another old one for us older Windows users. If, let's say, I've just... booted the thing up and I've got a thumb drive plugin, say, and I know that typically that is maybe Drive E or Drive G or whatever it happens to be.
Mm-hmm.
Can I still, in that search screen, could I just type in, you know, G colon or E colon or whatever it is and get access to that drive?
That's an excellent question. I don't know that I have an answer for that because I haven't played with it that much. Do you know, Doug? So the question is,
Microsoft
if he's on the
shaking
start...
their head no too, or they don't know.
So, I didn't even try.
We did the ride.
I'll tell you what, let's just give it a shot. If I type in
C, colon, slash,
yes.
Local disk C.
Yes.
Items new name object they modify type size 1 of 6.
Okay, can I then go to a subfolder if I say C colon backslash program files?
Let's
local disk C normal.
Give it a shot. What happened is it actually exited the search screen and opened up Windows Explorer.
Test list of items list. Start C colon backslash.
Let's do
G.
Let's see. So we're going to be Windows.
Windows.
Yes.
Items new name added state modified.
Yes, you can. So you can even go to a subfolder and type
Path is not dead.
Path is not dead.
Nice.
Yes, another question?
Are you going to. Are Braille do Braille displays work, and what kind of power, what kind of PC do we need to run Windows 8?
I'll just briefly address part of that. I don't know what the minimum specs are for the PC. I can tell you that this Windows 8 boots up way faster than Windows 7. Last night I was working with things, and I had my Windows 7 PC next to my Windows 8 machine. I actually booted them up at the same time. And it took about four times as long for my Windows 7 machine to come up, which is interesting because I think that the specs on my machine that have Windows 7 on it is a quad core, and I think this is a dual core, isn't it, Doug?
Correct.
Yeah, so I had twice the power in my PC running Windows 7, and it still took twice as long to boot up Windows 7 versus Windows 8. I don't know if you know minimum specs and want to answer the question on Braille displays.
Well, we'll certainly support all the same Braille displays, so there's no difference with any of that. So all the Braille displays WindowEyes supports will still support under Windows 8. And the minimum specs, maybe a Microsoft person?
Same as 7.
Same as 7.
Very nice. What I think is just fabulous is having WindowEyes function on this, and it's not. It just was public yesterday. It was working prior to yesterday. That's thanks to the good folks at Microsoft for working with us and all the hard work that our development team puts in. So all the things that you see with us putting out WindowEyes 7.5.3 and all those maintenance releases and app updates, concurrently we're working on other technologies behind the scenes as well. And this is something we've worked really, really hard on that we've only been able to talk about since yesterday, literally, because before that we were under NDAs. And so just want to show you that WindowEyes is moving forward, speaking and working really, really well with Windows 8 before it's even out of beta. Any other questions?
Mark here from Junior Blind. Would it be possible, and this is actually more of a question for the folks at Microsoft, and if we want to take this offline, we certainly can, but since we're going to be training on this product, would it be possible to get a pre-release copy sometime or an NFR copy to install on a machine in our lab so we can get up to speed on some of this?
So currently the consumer preview is available that you can go download today. But we, if you want to come visit us this afternoon between 12 and 2 in Elizabeth A, we can discuss more.
Between 12 and 2 in Elizabeth A, I'll see you.
Sounds good.
Internally, folks from Microsoft, do you guys have something that's public yet for keystroke preferences?
I think other folks have just been doing some searches to find the keyboard, but
okay,
we haven't done our whole.
Perhaps what we could do from our side is put out a knowledge base article at gwmicro.com/KB about some of the known keystrokes for those of you who are using it. We could certainly put something like that out.
There's a question and answer pair up on answers.microsoft.com. So if you search for keystrokes, you should be able to find it.
Perfect. Any other questions? If you're raising your hand, I can't see you, so I'm not ignoring you.
It's the old Jeremy.
All right. Doug, you want to add anything else?
No, I think we're good.
Thank you, everybody, so much for coming.